This is Tushan Amar Sarawardena for Boston.com, and you're listening to our walk-in tour of the stops on Boston's famous Freedom Trail. Boston is both full of history and a walkable city, and the Freedom Trail is a relatively quick and easy way to visit a number of historic sites while getting some exercise at the same time. Freedom Trail covers 2.5 miles, now that's about 4 kilometers, and is incredibly easy to follow. Just look for the big red line on the sidewalk that shows you the way. The trail starts on the Boston Common and makes its way through part of downtown before crossing the harbor and ending in Charlestown. At a brisk walk, you can finish the trail in little more than an hour, or you can spend almost a whole day by stopping and taking little detours along the way. Today, the Freedom Trail attracts over 3 million walkers a year, and the National Park Service conducts daily tours for the portion of the trail near the Common. Check out nps.gov to confirm the time and other details. Now let's get started. We're on the Common. We found the red line to follow, and we're heading up the slope towards the State House. You're walking through part of the oldest public park in the nation. It was first set aside in 1634 as a public space and was originally used for grazing animals. Over the years, it has also been used as a campsite by British troops and for public hangings. Today, it's a place for people to walk their dogs, play tennis, or relax and watch the world go by. Hit pause when you're standing in front of the State House. The Massachusetts State House, at the corner of Beacon and Park Streets. The State House is home to the Massachusetts State Legislative and Executive Branches, with its gilded dome shining with 23-karat gold leaf. Construction started on the building way back in 1795, with a cornerstone laid by Samuel Adams and Paul Revere. Today, the State House is open to the public for tours. Hit pause and follow the trail back down the slope, parallel to Park Street, until you reach the corner of Park and Tremont Streets. The Park Street Church, located on Park and Tremont Streets at the corner of the Common. Built in 1810, the Park Street Church features a majestic 217-foot-tall spire and is a site of two historic firsts. The abolitionist William Lloyd Garrison spoke out against slavery here for the first time in 1829. Then, 2 years later, the hymn America was sung for the first time. Hit pause and walk about 40 yards up Tremont Street. The Granary Burying Ground, abutting Park Street Church on Tremont Street. This spot is almost a who's who of Revolutionary War figures and Boston elite. If you look around, you'll find headstones for people like Paul Revere, John Hancock, and Samuel Adams, plus the parents of Benjamin Franklin and Crispus Attucks, a victim of the Boston Massacre. Hit pause and follow Tremont Street, crossing over to the other side at the intersection. King's Chapel, at the corner of Tremont and School Streets. You won't have to look hard to notice that this chapel lacks a spire, missing because funding ran out during construction. Interestingly enough, though, the stone chapel you see today was built around its predecessor, a simple wooden building, so that services could continue during construction. When the structure was completed, the old statue was dismantled and taken out through the windows. Hit pause and follow the trail down to School Street. The Old Corner Bookstore, located on the corner of School and Washington Streets. Many famous writers are linked to the Old Corner Bookstore, including Ralph Waldo Emerson, Louisa May Alcott, Nathaniel Hawthorne, Harriet Beecher Stowe, and Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, all of whom brought their works to a publisher that once occupied this building. Hit pause and turn left on Washington Street. You're about 50 feet from the next stop on the trail. Old South Meeting House, located on 310 Washington Street. Once Boston's largest building, the Old South Meeting House served as a house of worship, a town hall, and a gathering place for the young city. Crowds of 5,000 to 7,000 people filled the halls to discuss England's legislation against the colonies. And this was only at a time when 16,000 people lived in all of Boston. One of these early meetings led to the Boston Tea Party, where a mob of more than 2,000 people marched to the docks and dumped some 46 tons of tea into the harbor in December 1773. Today, the Old South Meeting House is open to the public, but charges an admission fee. Hit pause and continue down Washington Street. Be on the lookout for a bonus spot on the Freedom Trail. It's not part of the official tour, but it's a little inside information for you. The Old Boston Spring, found on Spring Street along the east side of Washington Street. In a small discreet alleyway lies the site of the Old Boston Spring. It's just a trickle today, and it's now piped directly into the city's sewer system. But back in the 1600s, it was an abundant enough source of fresh water to meet the demands of the young city. Had it not been for this spring, Boston likely would have sprung up on the other side of the Charles. If you care to take a look for yourself, take a few steps down the alley and look for a plaque on the wall on your left that marks the site of the original spring. Hit pause and walk further down Washington Street. Faneuil Hall, at the intersection of Congress and North Streets near the hulking City Hall. Given to the city by Peter Faneuil, a wealthy businessman, Faneuil Hall was designed to be the waterside market and meeting place, something the young city lacked in the 1740s. More than 250 years later, Faneuil Hall is still a meeting place, and the budding Quincy Market is filled with restaurants and food stands. This is a popular place to take a break from the trail for something to eat, or if the weather is good, to stop and watch a street performer's act. Just to give you an idea how much the city has changed, this used to be on the waterfront. Hit pause and follow the trail out of the back of Quincy Market and cross over into the north end. Your walk will take you above the tunnel of I-93, part of Boston's famous Big Dig. The Paul Revere House, found along North and Moon Streets in the north end. Boston's oldest remaining building, the Paul Revere House, was home to the famous patriot and silversmith, his wife, and his 16 kids in the late 18th century. Famous for his midnight ride, Revere was also a skilled craftsman and civic leader. The building in front of you, which is located in the city's oldest neighborhood, the North End, has been restored to give you a taste of what the city was like in the time of tight streets and cobblestone roads. If you're hungry, it might be a good time to stop for a snack or a meal. Copp's Hill Burying Ground, Hull and Snow Hill Streets in the North End. Take in the sweeping views of Charlestown and the harbor while exploring among the headstones here in the city's second oldest cemetery. The British occupied this hill in June of 1775 and pelted the shores of nearby Charlestown in some of the early battles of that Revolutionary War. Legend has it they also used some of the headstones for target practice. See if you can find a gravestone that still shows signs of the bullet marks. Hit pause until you walk down the hill, across the bridge, and then up the slope towards Bunker Hill. Now, it's a bit of a walk, so be sure you look around at some of the details in the North End and Charlestown along the way. The Old North Church, found in Salem and Hull Streets in the North End. Towering above the neighborhood, the 175-foot-high steeple of the oldest church in Boston is home to the country's oldest bell that is still in use. The church was first built in 1723 and is probably most famous for its role as the site of the lanterns used to alert the colonialists about British troop movements in April 1775. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow's poem, The Midnight Ride of Paul Revere, says, "One if by land, two if by sea," and two lights it was that April 18th night in 1775. Hit pause until you walked up the hill and entered the gate into Copp's Hill Burying Ground. The Bunker Hill Monument, located across the Charles River into Charlestown at Monument Square. Just keep on looking up and you'll find it. This 221-foot-tall obelisk, which at first pass looks like another famous landmark in Washington, D.C., is quite possibly the best place to take in the skyline of Boston proper. That is, if you want to take the 290-foot stair trip to the top. The monument commemorates the first major battle in the Revolutionary War, a fight that the colonialists lost. The British suffered heavy casualties, though, and the battle served notice that the colonial uprising would not quickly go away. Hit pause until you've finished looking around at Bunker Hill, and then head off to the final stop on the trail. The Charlestown Navy Yard and the USS Constitution, located in Charlestown on Constitution Road. 33-0, that's the record of the USS Constitution, commonly known as Old Ironsides. The ship is actually constructed of 25-inch thick planks of oak, but it earned its nickname after a crew member looked at the ship's hull after a heavy series of volleys struck the boat and reported that he barely saw a scratch on the ship. The USS Constitution is the oldest vessel in the Navy's fleet and is open for free and quite entertaining guided tours throughout the day. Well, that's it, the end of the Freedom Trail and of our walking tour. I hope you found it both useful and enjoyable, and find that Boston's quite an interesting city. If you'd like to learn more about Boston or things to do in the city, you can always visit boston.com.